So what we're going to do now is we're going to hear from the beautiful Chrissy Cahill, how she got it. Chrissy is just such a wonderful believer, known her for a good while, and her example, right? It's not a, yeah, I guess it's funny. It's a nice way to put it, right? Choose your words carefully. But now, joking aside, I really admire her. She's a great woman who has stood for a long, long time, and she's just the best. So please welcome the beautiful Chrissy Cahill.
So I'd like to thank Michael for giving me a segue into my story. This is the conversion of Chrissy Cahill. The mini-series in 10 brief minutes. So when I was in middle school, sixth grade, I started to go to Catholic school. My whole family, very, very Catholic, nuns in the family, all kinds of, you know. So when I was in sixth grade, I started to go to Catholic school. Well, that caused a lot of problems because I always had a lot of questions. So I would ask questions all the time. So by the time I was in seventh grade, they called my mother and said, you know, your daughter needs to stop asking questions. And she goes, what? She asks questions all the time and she just has to accept things by faith. And so she's not allowed to ask questions anymore. So my mom comes home, and she's furious because I got in trouble at school for asking questions. So she bought me a Bible, and she literally threw it at me and said, so you need to figure this out for yourself because obviously no one has the answers you're looking for. So I started reading the Bible. And where does everybody start when they first get a Bible? In Genesis. So I start reading in Genesis, and I'm reading chapter by chapter, and I'm checking it off in the front, you know, how many chapters I'm reading. And, you know, I got all the way through the law. I got pretty far, but I never made it to the New Testament because I just gave up. Because I didn't understand. There was nobody who could really teach me. And so I started praying that God would teach me his word. I wanted to know who God was. That's what I hungered for. That's what I longed for in my life. So, didn't happen in Catholic school. And then between my 9th and 10th grade in high school, my parents started having a lot of trouble. My mom tries to kill herself. My life is a disaster. We move to another city. So my life kind of like fell apart. So we go to this new school. I start drinking a lot, you know, sophomore in high school. Isn't that when everybody starts drinking? you know. So maybe you didn't. But I still had this desire to know who God was, but I was so afraid of getting close to anybody or letting anybody get close to me because I never wanted to get hurt the way I saw my mother had been hurt. So basically, every single time I would start to get close in a relationship, I would do something to completely sabotage it. So I would like cheat on the person or do something to drive them away from me. So this went on. And then I'm in college. And I'm in a sorority because I want to be able to be invited to all the best parties. But I was that sorority sister who had the acronym FBA. If anybody has any idea what that means, can't really say it right now, but it has something to do with having a really bad attitude. So again, life continued. And then I was dating some guy, we were going to get married, whatever. And the whole reason I was going to go down that road was because I really did want to have children one day, because I loved children. And so then I find out that my friends are having this great big party on Halloween, and I'm like, oh, I'm definitely in. I'm going. And my boyfriend doesn't want to come with me, and I go, and I'm dressed like Minnie Mouse because it's Halloween. It's 1985, and I'm 19 years old. And I got very high. And this guy that I knew, who I had told a couple years before how I really wanted to know who God was, he started speaking God's word to me. And I thought he was messing with me because I was so high. So I stood up, and in front of all of his friends, I completely humiliated him. Don't remember it the next morning until my friend tells me what happened. And then I'm terrified. I'm like, oh my gosh, did I just blow my one chance to get to know who God is? Like, how could this be? So I prayed. I'm like, God, I don't know what you're going to have to do, because I didn't even know where this guy was anymore, because I knew he had moved away. It was before we had the internet and you could just, like, you know, Google someone. So anyway, long story short, I found out that he was going to be at this party on Christmas night. So I'm like, I'm going. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm going to be completely sober the entire time. I don't even know if he's going to talk to me, but I knew I had prayed. So I get there, and I immediately, like, as soon as he gets there, I make a beeline for him. I'm like, you need to talk to me. I'm like, I need to know if what you were telling me was true. So we're talking, and the two of us are just, you know, the two of us are sitting there like as if nobody else in the party is even there. And then something happens, and the party ends abruptly, and he's like, okay, bye. I just want to leave him. Where's he going? You know, I'm like, I find, like, he was telling me, like, everything that my heart had sought after for so long, like, that God could hear my prayers, that he wanted to help me, that he wanted to be part of my life, that there actually are answers, that God's word is true, all these things that he's sharing with me, and he's leaving. So I'm sitting in my car, and I'm like, God, seriously, this is happening again? He's just going to leave? His car wouldn't start. So he wasn't going anywhere. So I said, you know what? I said, Joe, why don't you take my car? And then you can give it back to me tomorrow, because then I'd have to see him again. And he's like, are you sure? I mean, I live all the way. I'm like, I don't care. Yes, I'm sure. So then we go and we park somewhere. And for 3 hours, he's telling me basically everything he learned in Power for Abundant Living in 3 hours. And I mean, I knew that moment that this is what I had been searching for my entire life. Broke up with my boyfriend the next day. Everybody in my town thought I was in a cult, because how could I possibly give up such a catch? But why I stuck around. I'm going to give you the why I stuck around, okay? So that was like how I got into the word. Why I stuck around, there are several reasons. Maria Sinardo, you guys know her, most of you. Well, I couldn't believe that somebody could possibly love me as much as this woman loved me. So I told her the worst things about me, everything, like everything. I just laid it all out on the table. And I was like, there's no way somebody's going to love me after they really know me. And she did. She didn't even blink an eye. So I'm like, wow, if a person can do this, God's got to be so much greater. And then, so as I mentioned, I was a bit of a partier. So one night I went out and I got really screwed up. And I blacked out, lost time. I woke up and I had fallen asleep with a cigarette in my hand and burned a hole, like, right through my clothes to my collarbone. And so I woke up and I smelled burnt flesh and I freaked out. You know, I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing to myself? And I called the guy who had witnessed to me, and he starts screaming at me. And then he went to Nick and was complaining about me and what I had done. and Nick Sinardo. Told him that I would change my own time and to leave me be and to not be so religious and stop expecting everybody to change overnight. And so I didn't hear about it again. And then maybe a month later, I got high with Joe, the same guy who was complaining about me to Nick. And the next day, we had this witnessing and under shepherding class. So I was a little foggy in my head in the morning, and I went and to pick up Joe, and I had like this great big orange soda, and I've got Billy Squire blasting on my car radio when I come to pick him up, and he goes, what are you doing? I'm like, seriously? You know, you were with me last night, seriously? But what happened was, when I went to class that day, I realized that I couldn't think clearly. So then I was done. I never smoked pot again. And then I didn't drink for a very long time. Because I wanted to be able to think clearly so I could receive God's word. So Maria loved me like crazy, no matter what I told her. Nick stood up for me and refused to let people, you know, put me under bondage. Really. And, you know, if any of them had gone by their five senses, there is no way they would have put their faith or their trust or their love in me, because I was broken. And yet, they saw past that. Because of the love that they had in their hearts for God, they loved me. And that's the same love we need to have, without that judgment. Like, that person will never believe God's word. Like, I've heard people say, oh, don't witness to them. They're drunk. And? Because there's a time that they're going to be sober, and they might actually remember something that you shared with them, and it could change their lives. So I need to stop talking, but the one last thing I wanted to say, after seeing all those examples, those two poses of believing, seeing how the Word of God fit together and God answer prayers, that's the thing that really kept me. The love, the way that people looked out for one another, and how the Word of God really fit, and how God really and truly answers our prayers. And that's the other thing that Michael talked about, that proof, you know, that God hears us. So that's all I want to share.